Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Brought to you by Farmers at Farmers. We've seen almost everything, so we know how to cover almost anything. When it's game time, have an experienced player help you stay ahead of the game. Put their experience in a play at farmers.com.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Oh, what a mess! That's the Lakers. Oh, look, we could talk about Kyler Murray and all these dudes running super fast and flexing their muscles and the complete BS about one guy who caught 26 balls and the 1.6% body fat, which doesn't actually exist, right? I get it, you're ripped. You don't have 1.6% body fat. Something was wrong with the calipers if they measured that out. We could talk about the mess that is the Boston Celtics as they lose at home and get booed rightfully and mercifully while losing to the Houston Rockets. We could talk about all of that. We could get into Antonio Brown, who's talking about the lack of leadership and maturity while sporting a blonde mustache. Under things not to say, I don't need to play football, and if they want, we're going to play, we're going to play my way. Yikes. But let's start with LeBron James, shall we? The King, as he has been nicknamed by himself, is leading his team into a ditch. Would I put all of the flaws of the Lakers roster on LeBron James? Of course not. It's not his fault that you have an inexperienced GM, an inexperienced president of basketball operations. You also have a lack of depth. Remember, the Lakers are the only team in the NBA without an assistant general manager. So you have Rob Pelinka, who's a former agent, never been a general manager, never operated in a front office, with Magic Johnson, who's never really run anything in terms of in the NBA. And they didn't bring in a guy who's like, look, don't worry, I've done all this before. So you got that as a problem. You have an inexperienced head coach in Luke Walton, who his only previous experience to getting the Lakers job was as an interim head coach with the best team in basketball through the first half of the season. You have an inexperienced GM, you have no assistant GM, an inexperienced president, an inexperienced head coach. You have an inexperienced starting lineup who has only played games in the NBA in which they were actually better off losing than winning. You have a paucity of shooting coming off the bench. You have errors in judgment with contracts signed and not renewed in the offseason. All of those things do not fall on LeBron James. You know, could you have said, hey, LeBron, if he really wanted to come in, there should have been a better plan. He should have known the plan. Maybe. But we're not holding LeBron James up to the standard of, can they beat the Warriors? Can they beat the Sixers? Can they beat the Celtics? Can they beat the good teams? Over the last 2 weeks of NBA basketball, they have lost to the Hawks. They have lost to the Pelicans. They have lost to the Grizzlies. They have lost to the Phoenix freaking Suns. And at times, they have looked collectively disinterested in each other and in the common goal of winning. And that falls on the feet of number 23. Because he has looked at times disinterested in the common goal of winning. I'm not going to pick apart the fact that he missed a couple of big free throws against the Bucks. I'm not going to pick apart the fact that at 34 years old, he physically cannot defend with the same energy. But all you have to do is watch the games. Watch his body language, their body language. And remember this phrase in basketball. Whoever your best player is, that's who your team is. If your best player is a hardworking, unselfish, tough son of a you-know-what, then guess what your team is. because they all fall in line. If your best player is a selfish, arrogant, entitled SO you know what, then guess what your team is. Part of what's made the Warriors so great is Steph Curry's leadership. Like, Steph Curry is not a good defender, but there is some effort there. And Steph Curry has fun. He goes out there and every night he tries to have a great time. He gets just as much joy when somebody else hits a shot as when he does. You've seen Clay, when Clay gets going hot and he shoots the ball, Steph Curry's running down the court and people are like, well, why is he doing that? Because that's how Steph Curry runs his team. Now, Kevin Garnett's the better all-around player, but he's not the leader of the team. Kevin Durant is the better overall player. And at times, when Kevin Durant is their leader, they play and look like Kevin Durant, which is businesslike, a little obtuse, slightly angry. Even that kind of works more than disinterested. Because though Kevin Durant is not the fun leader that Steph Curry is, Kevin Durant is an absolute licensed killer. He believes that he's the best player on earth, and he wants to prove it every night he gets the basketball. LeBron James doesn't. LeBron James has been told how great he is for enough time, to which now he believes it. And you know what? The truth is, LeBron James has been great all of that time. Friday, I hosted The Herd. And there are plenty of fanboys in the NBA who have let me hear about it on social media. But my point was, and could I make an argument he's a top 10 player? Yeah, on a given night. I also did not have Russell Westbrook on that list. He could have been on it very easily, probably more so ahead of LeBron. I didn't have Kyrie Irving. My point was, just because LeBron James has been the best player or one of the best players in the NBA for parts of the last 12, 13 years, does not mean today he is. The percentage of plays he takes off on defense, the percentage of plays he takes off on offense, the way in which he leads or actually doesn't lead, the investment in the common goal of being, like, look, you can fool people with stats, like Nick Wright now, all you want. Wake up, look at stats, you're like, oh yeah, triple-double, what did he do wrong? I will never forget this. One of my dear friends, a guy named Joe Crispin. Joe Crispin played a little bit in the NBA. He took my spot, actually, with the Lakers. I was in a vet camp with Joe Crispin and Mike Pemberthy. And they were both much better shooters than I was, much better fits for the Lakers. But I thought maybe I had a chance. And the way it works in professional basketball, usually, is you actually become really good friends with the guys, even at your position group, that may beat you out. Like, you can compete hard as hell with them during practice and during the games, but at the end of the day, it's not their decision who makes and doesn't make the team. You actually don't like other guys on the team more so than guys at your spot, because it's the other guys who have to pass you the ball, give you the ball in position, and then it's about making a play. You can't hold it. I couldn't hold against Joe that he's just a better shooter. Mike Pemberthy, he's better, incredible shooters and a better fit as the third point guard for the triangle. But Joe Crispin, after he got cut by the Lakers, was on the Phoenix Suns. I was playing in the ABA with the Phoenix team. And Joe was, just the nicest guy ever. He's a Division III college coach now. And he would always come to the Suns game. Like, we'll go and we'll grab something to eat afterwards. So I had an off night, and I came to the game. And I got there early, and I watched him work out. And he came over afterwards, and he said, you got to watch tonight. It's going to be amazing. I go, why? And he says, because, you know, we have Steph. And back then, Steph was Stephon Marbury. And he goes, Steph is going to have 20. And he's going to have 8, at least. And he goes, the 8 assists don't make anybody better, and the 20 don't help us win. But if you look at the stat sheet, at the end of the game, you'd be like, well, Steph had 28. He's not the problem. And then you would watch him, and early in the game, he'd get a layup, he'd get a bucket, he'd get some assist, he'd load up on the assist, and then he'd take over and try and score. And then maybe late in the game, he might then go like, okay, now I look up, I know my stats, I can go and try and play to win. It really is that simple, because the first three quarters in the NBA, you can, in fact, play to your stats if you have that kind of talent. That's what LeBron James is doing. He knows how many points he has. He knows how many assists he has. He knows how many rebounds he has. He also knows he's not playing all that well. And not sure he cares that much. He cares. But he's one of those guys where, you know, things aren't going well. So, you know, I've been to the finals 8 straight times. You start convincing yourself, you know what? We're not going to the playoffs. Maybe it's better if I shut it down. Maybe it's better if I... He's gotten to that point where this is a lost season. And you know who it makes you respect more? Kobe Bryant. I didn't grow up enjoying watching Kobe Bryant play. I didn't. I thought Kobe was selfish. But Kobe Bryant would not go down like this. Case in point, when he was 34 years old, they were in almost the exact same position, and they made the playoffs. Made it. Made the playoffs. Because Kobe's a guy that you are who your best player is. And though Kobe was a bit selfish, Kobe would rather leave as a winner than go down as somebody who didn't make the playoffs and point fingers. Look, any of these stories, any of them you hear individually, I can excuse. Right? You know, listen to 2 Chainz make a new rap album, and the night before a game that you have off because you're doing load management, fine. Enjoying a good glass of wine, even before a game you're not going to play because you're hurt, fine. Not practicing with the team because you're injured and you do your own rehab thing, fine. Taking a ball out of bounds and hitting the underside of the backboard, happens. Okay? Getting lost defensively and getting it pointed out on Twitter, it happens. Having bad body language and not paying attention to a coach, it happens. Not sitting with the team. He's always sat in the same chair. It happens. But when you add all the stories together and you look at the lack of cohesion and you remember that it's not like they're losing to the Warriors, to the Celtics, to the Sixers, to the Nuggets. They're losing to the Suns, the Grizzlies, the Pelicans, and the Hawks. You start to understand why all of these stories are not only true, but the culmination of them, you add them all together and like, oh, he's the problem, not the solution. Again, it's not his fault that Rob Pelinka thought that Kentavious Caldwell-Pope was bred from above. They actually thought that Kentavious Caldwell-Pope would be the reason that LeBron James would come to L.A. because he's repped by Clutch Sports. That's what they thought. Like, LeBron was coming or not coming, it had nothing to do with it, but they didn't know. And Caldwell-Pope's cost them probably 4 games individually, and they won those 4 games, all 4, cost by him, including the Bucks game where he can't take the ball in bounds against a simple press. They win the games, and they're in the playoffs right now. That's not LeBron's fault. But losing to the Suns and being down 19, that is. Losing to the Grizzlies, who trade away their best player and look at get disinterested, that is. Losing to the Pelicans, who don't play their best player more than 20 minutes because they are trying to tank, they are trying to be bad, that is. Losing to the Atlanta Hawks, that is. You are who your best player is. And if the Lakers are a non-playoff team, that's on their best player.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Saying nothing is a lot better than saying too much. Because when you say too much, you say dumb things. We have reached the point where Antonio Brown has now spoken so often about what he thinks that we're incredibly turned off by it. This is what happens. The guy who we thought like, you know, listen, I don't think he should have threatened to sit out the last game of the season, but I can kind of see that Big Ben and Mike Tomlin and the contract and like, now I have zero sympathy. First, there's the visual of it. In and of itself, you want to dye your mustache blonde? All right. I've never been a diet blonde guy, but all right, have some fun. I tell my son all the time, like, should you have a mohawk? Probably he does not have a mohawk currently, but should you have a line in your hair? Should you try and shave it up differently, get faded differently? Like, I don't know, but there's going to become a point in time where you might not have as much hair as you used to have, and you won't be able to do it. So go for it. You know, the difference in a good haircut and a bad haircut is 2 weeks. You know, it goes back. But when you're going to sit down and conduct interviews and explain to people that you're the adult in the room, not the kid in your room, you might not want to have a dyed yellow mustache. I'm not crazy. Call me crazy. And you might not want to say things like this.
Bro, listen, I don't even have to play football if I don't want, bro. I don't even need the game. You know what I'm saying? I don't need to prove nothing to anyone. If they want to play, they're going to play by my rules. If not, I don't need to play.
Listen, I'm not going to sit here and tell you I know everything about football culture because I played football for 7 years of my life. I did not play football in college. I did not play football professionally. But I do know this enough about football. Football does not play by any one player's rules. They don't bow to the whim of a wide receiver, right? That's not the way it works here, okay? You're the employee. We tell you when to show up. We tell you when you can go home. Then we tell you when to show up the next day and when you can go home. We tell you when the games are. When you need to be there. When you go home. You play our way. This is the way it works to be an employee. And it just strikes me as I understand you want to be your own voice. You are tired of being held back, but sometimes it's for your own good. There's an expression or a saying in sports radio and sports television, right? Like, look, we all have things we say we'd like to take back. And we all sit there and go like, well, you know, you talk enough, you're going to say something stupid, right? And that's for people who speak for a living. We're going to say something stupid. We're going to make a mistake. We're going to be tired one day. We're going to be grouchy one day. Or we're just going to be misinformed on something and get something jumbled in our mind and misspeak and use bad syntax. Like, it's going to happen. If you talk enough, you're going to say something stupid. And that's for people who do it for a living. What do you think happens for the athlete? In Antonio Brown's own mind, he's taking control of his own career. He's making the decisions. He feels empowered because he's in a room full of guys that are sitting there nodding their head going, yeah, if you're going to play by your rules. And the NFL is sitting there going like, yeah, no, that's not really the way it works. You want a guaranteed contract, somehow a longer-term guaranteed contract. You want to play with a good quarterback, all right? Well, that cuts off like half the league. You got to play with a strong-willed head coach. That cuts off half of those remaining teams. You want guaranteed money. That cuts off half of those. Oh, and you want to play by your rules and your way and, like, pass.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
He was a stud. One of my favorite teams to watch was Rhode Island. I sat out a year in college. So I went to Notre Dame for a year. Then I sat out at a junior college, at Golden West College, and then I went to Oklahoma State for 3 years. And the year I sat out, Kansas was the best team in the country. They fell in the second round to the Rhode Island Rams, who, you know, one of their best. I'm trying to think, like, there was you, Katina Mobley joins us in the Doug Gottlieb Show. You, Tyson Wheeler, right?
Tyson Wheeler.
And
Antonio Reynolds Dean.
Uh-huh. Rowan Barrett, right?
No.
Who else was on the team? Antonio Reynolds Dean.
Preston Murphy. Luther Clay.
It was a squad.
And Lamar was on our team, but he couldn't play that year.
Right.
He had to sit out.
Was he prop or was
he? Yeah, he had to sit out.
I
think he committed to like UNLV or something.
He committed to UNLV. He had the magic pencil. And I don't know if you guys remember the magic pencil where he didn't pass the SAT and then he flew all the way. He's from New York. Yeah. He flew all the way out to Linwood High School, which is in Los Angeles. And magically, the magic pencil, he passed the SAT.
How about that?
And then the NCAA was like, no, 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 no.
No, I'm cool on you.
No, 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 no.
And Linwood's pretty far, man.
Huh?
Jeez, where I live at, Linwood's pretty far.
It's really far from New York.
Yeah.
Remarkably far from New York. Made it to Rhode Island, and you guys beat that Kansas team. That Kansas team was stacked. It had Jock Vaughn, Paul Pierce, and Rafe LaFrance,
Billy Thomas.
That was a good team.
Yeah.
But you guys had Robinson. Like, you guys played, the way you played then is the way that teams play now. You guys played small, right? Yeah, you had like four or five guards. You guys just got after it.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing was, is, and as you know, Doug, when you have a strong backcourt, you can get far.
Yep.
Right? Like, you can have an amazing big, but if you don't have guards to get that ball down the court to give it to him, he's in trouble. So, yeah. So, you know, having Tyson Wheeler and Preston Murphy, myself, I think it was a blessing for us.
Okay, I'm looking at here the box score. How many did you have in that game? Do you remember?
I don't know.
You don't remember? Come like on, 30. Dude.
Hey, but I'm gonna tell you a quick story.
Yeah.
So we're playing kids.
Yeah, 27, by the way.
27. Yeah. Yeah. So he asked for 30. I'm sorry. I have three. Behind.
Luther. I forgot you had Luther Clay, originally
he was at Purdue. And then he came to us.
You only played seven dudes. They had Ryan Robertson. Who got drafted?
Ryan
Robertson, T.J. Pugh, Billy Thomas, Rafe LaFrenz, Paul Pierce. They were like big. Yeah. You guys just got after him.
Yeah, we ran them up and
down. Lester Earl, remember Lester Earl?
Lester Earl.
Wow, he was on the all hype team.
He was like Luther Clay, kind of.
Yes,
him and Luther Clay were
both of those
like
guys
same.
Were like McDonald's all everything.
Yeah, that's
where
Luther came. He came to Rhode Island like poking his chest out. I still love him, but he's poking his chest out like, yeah, I'm the man. Like, all right, we got you, buddy.
Anyway, you were saying I cut you off.
No, we played Murray State that first round. And Jim Herrick, who I love to death, love you, coach. He's coaching at CSUN right now, assistant coach with Mark. And he says to me, Kansas is playing Prairie View. And then they beat Prairie View, and they're like celebrating and dancing or whatever it was. So coach looks at me, he's like, hey, listen, you want to make a name for yourself? Want to go to pros? I'm like, of course, coach. He's like, I need 30 on him. He like points to Paul. I'm like, listen, I come from Philadelphia. I'm playing with Kobe and Aaron McKee and Eddie Jones. That's no problem with me. I got you. No problem. But yeah, we came in. We attacked them. They didn't know what hit him, and came out with a W. It was fun.
I'm trying to think. Murray had a really good point guard. I'm trying to think. He was like a sophomore. I played with him a little bit in the CBA. I don't know if he played that. Yeah, Aubrey Reese, but he came off the bench for them then.
It's funny because Mark Godfrey, who coaches CSUN now, was the coach then.
At Murray State.
Yeah. He still reminded me about
that. Well, I'll tell you a quick Godfrey story. This is kind of getting off a little bit on the basketball stuff, but that year, that year when Godfrey, and they were 29-4, they looked 29-3 when they played you guys before they lost. That was a stacked team. I visited Alabama.
Okay.
And Dave Hobbs was the coach at Alabama.
Dave Hobbs.
And I went there and I liked it. And Mark Godfrey called me because he had recruited me to UCLA.
Right.
And my sister was a cheerleader. She babysat his kids when they were little. And he's like, what'd you think about Alabama? And I was like, I liked it. It was a good spot. I was like, I don't know if Dave Hobbs is going to hang around. I don't know if he's going to keep his job.
Right.
I was like, if it wasn't a basketball school, he said, you should go there. I'm going to be the coach. And
really?
Sure enough, gone there, he would have been the coach.
He's the coach. Yeah.
He would have been the coach.
Who coaches with him now? Williams.
Yes. Williams.
Mo Williams.
Didn't have Mo Williams initially. All right, that's enough inside basketball discussion with me and Katino Mobley, but that was an awesome Rhode Island squad. I forgot that Lamar was – I remember Lamar was sitting out. I remember he didn't play that Sweet 16 squad. Was it always this way in the NBA? I don't know. I understand we cover – here's my thought. We cover it a lot more than we used to. Like, when I first started in sports radio, we used to cover baseball. We don't cover baseball now. We used to cover NBA more playoffs. Now it's like all the regular season drama. Was it always this way with teams and infighting and weird stuff going on? Was that always the case and only we're covering it now? Or has it gotten worse because of social media, stars, and things like that?
I think it was always like that, right? I just think because of social media, right, the easy access to getting to the superstar, the star, or finding out if one of the Kardashians got cheated on, you know, it's much easier to be involved with, you know, directly opposed to indirectly. Baseball has the marketing behind baseball. I mean, how many players can you truly name top 10 players in baseball right now, right?
Baseball's not cool.
Right. They got to fix that marketing.
I don't know if it's the marketing. Like, look, the game is just, you know, it takes a while to get to the highlights, right? Like basketball has figured out hey, man, we make it a more offensive game. Football's figured it out, too, right? Like, we like offense. Sure. Yeah. We like highlights. How can we get more of that stuff?
Patrick Homeboy.
And basketball has more. First, basketball is hard to beat because you can see all the players.
Right, exactly.
They're the best athletes.
Yeah, yeah.
And, oh, yeah,
I'm
by
glad
the way,
you said that, because I'm arguing with Terrell Davis about who's the best athletes, football players or basketball players.
Come on, man.
I know. That's what I said the same thing to him.
Now, look, anybody who's seen a basketball player, a football player play basketball is like, well, that guy has no ball skill. Like, right?
right.
Like, we got to do all things you guys got to do, only with a ball in your hand.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
good luck with that. They can run. Some of those guys can run fast and jump high, but that doesn't give you overall coordination and athleticism.
Yeah, we're not worried about that.
So it's always been this case. So why, if LeBron's always kind of had this way, and it's always been a struggle in his first year to fit in new places, why has it been such a struggle this year?
Well, I think because one is LeBron's older, right? And being older, it's there's a lot of patience that you have to have. Now, as a parent, it's better to have children at an older age because you're more patient and you're more settled. But as a player, and then you come into L.A., they want to win right now, right? So he spoiled them in the beginning when he came in, and they were fourth in the West, even though they were three games from the eighth spot or the ninth spot, because that's how, you know, competitive the West was. I think for LeBron, listen, my major was communications psychology. And one of the things I always say, and I hold my hat on with it, is human beings in general. You are who you are. LeBron's been like that. Just like Lamar eating Skittles and disappearing in the dorms and stuff like that. He was like that then. He's like that now.
Right.
You are who you are. LeBron was that same way, but he had veterans around him when he was younger. And we had other guys that can close games out. You know, he had shooters surrounded around him. Now, if LeBron would have had shooters. Now, think about this, Doug. Since LeBron came back from the injury, he's averaged a triple-double. Like, he's doing his part. Yeah, he's not stopping guys anymore, but who's stopping people in their 16th year, right? Like, that's not what you're doing. What I'm doing is, listen, I need you young guys to step it up. If you have one weak link, and he's weak link-ish, but he's not weak link. And when I say that, what I'm saying is, on defense, LeBron, those four guys got to step it up. LeBron, like, sometimes I get to lay down on things. Right? Like,
there's no doubt that you're going to take plays off. It's, for me, the percentage of plays off that he takes.
Right.
It's just a lack of, at times, disinterest. But there's something that happened when he got hurt, where they went from, when they were 17-10, and they were rolling, and they had good chemistry, and the guys were all in it. And I agree with you. It's a flawed roster. Right? Like, Pelinka and Magic deserve just as much blame as anybody.
For a fact. Remember, you know, before the season, oh, yeah, we're not trying to outscore Golden State. We're trying to, you know, do something different. We're going to have all defensive guys. Where are they?
Well, it's not just that. Like, look, you had Brook Lopez, and now he's playing on the best team in the NBA as a stretch five who can defend the rim a little bit, right? Like, you had him.
Right.
You had Zubac, who is a starting center at 21 years old on a small rookie contract. You got rid of him. You got Mike Muscala. I love Tyson, but Tyson Chandler's washed, right? Yeah. And you got JaVale McGee, who LeBron is clearly not into. And JaVale is, you know, kind of a flaky backup who has talent, but, like, that's what you got inside.
Yeah, he shouldn't be starting.
No, what are your options? Right?
Yeah, I mean, you don't. You don't really have options, right? And I think that's where LeBron, the frustration is coming in. It's like, when I came in here, I did what I'm supposed to do, and that's get us in, you know, talks of playoffs. And, you know, they were fourth in the West before he left. Regardless of when it was, they were fourth. Now, you give them 18 games, which he's never missed in a season, we're now near the 10th place. So, like, I mean, I got to give LeBron a little bit of leeway.
Sure.
Because now what he's doing is while they're losing, while he's off, while he's being hurt, he's looking at that like, are you guys being professionals? Right? Like, he's not the only one. Before he even got there, Kobe was yelling at young guys about, like, y'all don't practice hard. Y'all not doing this. He's cussing them out.
But that was a different, in fairness, that was a different group, right? That's why they got rid of those guys.
But my point is being young. When you're young, the best thing about the 21-year-old girl is that she's 21. When she's 30, she's not the best anymore. Unless, you know, you worked on your character, your attitude, and your independence, right? So these young people, they're sitting there and they're playing. They're BSing in practice maybe. They're not doing well on the bus. On roads, they probably doing stuff like that. He's probably pissed off at that too.
That's not what happened.
You don't think so?
No, I know so. He wasn't going. He wasn't hanging out with the team. He was.
Well, people still talk, though.
Huh?
People still talk.
I understand. Right? I'm telling you, when you go from being all in, then you get hurt, and then you're out, and then you show up drinking wine at a game, they're like, whoa, wait, what? And then you have, he's had all these TV shows, right?
Right.
Have you seen a Laker in any of those TV shows?
No.
Not one! No. Not one!
But.
John Stewart's been in more shows than
wait, should he put him? Should he put him in there?
Yes, if they're teammates, if they're like, we're in this together, like, yeah. Yeah,
no,
I would expect you.
No.
And then you find
James
out.
James Harden should put Chris Paul in his, right? You don't put those young guys in. You know why you don't put them young guys in here? They ain't work for nothing. Well, I'm going to give you this right now.
Wait, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Well, there's not just young guys. You got older guys in that team.
Like who? Who's marketable besides Rondo? And he's not even. Who?
Rondo? Wait, what? Why not Rondo? Rondo hasn't been in it. Lance hasn't been in it.
Rondo don't do no commercials. I'm not doing nothing with Rondo.
I understand, but it's supposed to be like...
Lance. Make him dance Lance.
Make him dance Lance.
You want Lance in your show?
No, but my point is...
There we go.
There hasn't been a buy-in. Like, this whole idea that he went to practice and they weren't working hard.
You seen Rondo with him on trips and played watch basketball? Okay, cool. That's what we got.
Yes. So he's rolling with Rondo.
The rest of them are not... Did you see them?
Brandon Ingram's actually played well.
You know, they said something very interesting. Brandon Ingram, who I'm not a... Listen, he's
not
talented.
I'm not a
fan of him.
And he takes tough twos.
He's like the new deer. He's like that new baby deer.
Yes.
That like his limbs like about to break.
I got it.
It's like a weird thing to me.
And
his points don't affect the game.
Couldn't you say the same thing with LeBron? Like you said, LeBron's averaging triple-double.
That's not true.
They ain't winning games.
That's not true.
He can't make game-winning free throws.
That's not true.
Like, look... I think anyone would be willing to admit that LeBron is taking more plays off on defense, is not as explosive on offense, and yes, look, he's more skilled probably at making shots now,
right,
making jump shots than he ever was. Like, that wasn't his game before.
Right.
And again, I'm not putting all of it on him, but dude, you're not losing. It's not like we're criticizing them for losing to the Warriors or losing to the Nuggets or losing even to the Bucks, a winnable game that I don't think he blew that. I think KCP blew that game more than anything, but whatever. And there's some blame for Luke Walton. Like, he's had bad rotations. And there's some blame
His rotations are crazy.
But you can't lose to the Suns and the Hawks and the Pelicans and the Grizzlies and not go like, come on, man.
Right, but the Suns, like, look back at the Suns' wins. They've surprisingly beat some guys. Now, LeBron has probably been up for that game. But everybody else is not up for that game. You know why? Because they're young. When we were young, Doug... We did some stupid stuff. It's some games where we come in
Rondo,
here.
Rondo is their starting point guard right now. He is not young. JaVale McGee is their starting center. He is not young.
Come on.
Ingram.
We just talked about his brain.
Look, I think they're... We just talked
about that brain.
I understand. I'm just saying, but you said young.
You said young. You can be... Listen.
I got you.
I don't care if you lied when you were younger. When you start getting old, you're still alive.
I'm with you. Like, there's a reason JaVale has been the star of Shaq and the Fool. More times than anybody in the history. Like, he thinks, like, Shaq's like, I'm not picking on you. It's just too easy.
It's just very easy.
It's just easy. Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Katina Mobley continues to join us here live in studio. All right. So, how do you fix it?
You know what? I love Luke Walton. But I don't
think... You're going to fire Luke Walton.
Yeah. You just need a defensive coach in there. Right, because you have younger guys. When you have younger guys, it's easy to score. Because all I'm going to tell you to do is run. Just run, and LeBron or Rondo is going to pass you the ball up, right?
I just need more of a defensive principle. They don't have that. I don't know. In fairness to Luke, when they were healthy, they were top seven across the board defensive metrics. And not having Lonzo really hurts them defensively.
Big time.
Okay?
I'm a fan of Lonzo. A lot of people aren't.
That's because a lot of people don't know. A lot of people are fans don't actually
know
basketball.
He's amazing.
He is amazing. And he still hasn't played a whole year. Hasn't had an actual NBA offseason
No
yet.
Consistency.
Right.
And he still does well if
he can stay healthy. So I don't know if it's a deep... You have to have somebody that LeBron respects, right? LeBron will actually listen to. Is Ty Lue that guy? Because didn't he kind of turn off the Ty Lue?
Yeah, but Ty Lue can still cuss him out and LeBron will still listen though, right? It's a little different.
Right. Is that the only guy?
That I know of. I mean, who else is... You're not going to pull Eric Spoelstra.
Van Gundy?
No. Jeff Van Gundy?
Yeah.
No. And that was my coach.
I know.
I love Jeff. But the way this up and down goes right now, Jeff, the little bit of hair that he has going to come out.
But I think he's evolved. I think, you know, guys have evolved and changed, and he's seen the league. My question is, would he command the respect of LeBron?
he will command the respect, but it's like Tom Thibodeau, right? Tom Thibodeau was one of the best, is the one of the best defensive minds in the world. But guess what? He's a possession ball guy. He wants both teams to have like 80 possessions. It don't work like that no more, right? And if you go out of the funk of like this little bubble that they're in to try to control the Pat Riley-ish way to right. try to control that, it's a problem, right? Like you are who you are defensively as a coach.
Let me play for you something. This is Anthony Davis on the shop. This is Anthony Davis. Take a listen to what he had to say. Oh, okay, we'll get it in 1 second. And it kind of goes in line a little bit with what several players on the shop have said, talking about taking control of their own future. And obviously, he's going to be talked about with trades. Do we have it now, Ramos? All right. Well, I guess the question is pretty simple. Like, is it smart for these guys to, it's one thing to say it behind the scenes, but to say it into a camera that you want to take control of your own career? Because that's what Kyrie wanted, but he's struggling with the attention of leading the Celtics.
Okay.
That's what some of these other guys have struggled with. Like, is this a smart path to go down instead of having the layers that people used to have where, you know, you got PR people and other people are kind of doing your dirty work for you?
I think, well, this is what I did. Right. Like I was with the Houston Rockets, Steve Francis, and everybody knew Steve Francis and myself because we were like that duo, blah, blah, blah. Right. Did I get better with Steve Francis? I don't know. John Lucas used to tell me you two are better without each other than you are with each other. Because I could do a lot more for a team. Mm-hmm. And Steve probably could have done a lot more for a team as well. But we were so, you know, tight knit that it was like, I'm not leaving. This is my brother. That's how we're going to go down together. Just so happened we get traded. Once we got traded, I started thinking to myself, like, I need to do something more. I need a new challenge. I need to figure out if I'm really good at this, right? So I went to Sacramento. We did well in Sacramento. And then I took the chance to go to the Clippers because I felt as though that I can help them go to the playoffs. And I did. And I think that was a challenge for me. Now, as far as players now, I think, yes, control your own destiny. Do you want to be like a Karl Malone who I – love to death and one of the best power forwards ever, or Reggie Miller, one of the best shooting guards ever, Patrick Ewing, right? Do you want to go chasing them, right? At a later age, not at an early age, at a later age. And a lot of us, well, you know, in basketball, like you're identified by how many championships you win, right? Because Michael Jordan is the GOAT. Oh no, LeBron James, but Bill Russell has 11. So are we going by rings or are we going by talent? We're going by, you know, skill set. Basketball is a, you know, it's a 5-man sport. So, you know, I'm going by LeBron James, right? Because he makes everyone better. He'll take 4 guys from like Home Depot. I say that all the time, and they go to the playoffs. Just what it is. As long as he don't get hurt.
Not this year.
Yeah, as long as he don't get hurt.
He hadn't been hurt here when they lost to the.
How many games you think that out of 18 games that he'd have won? They'd have been 12-6. Supposedly 6-12.
It was actually an easier part of their schedule. And in fairness to the rest of the team, Kuzma's hurt a couple games. Rondo was hurt for half those games. Lonzo's been hurt all of those games
right.
as well.
Right.
I mean, look, I would thought, like, your argument would hold water if he came back and they were winning games.
No, that's tough.
What do you mean it's not tough?
It's a momentum. Doug, you know, everything's momentum. You're going into March playing bad, you're going into March Madness playing well?
I got it, except for it wasn't like they lost to the good teams. They've lost to the Hawks, the Pelicans.
They don't know how to win without them.
And the Suns, that's with him. They lost to the Hawks.
No,
Pelicans,
I'm talking about after
the Grizzlies.
I'm talking about after the 18 games. After the 18, he's already mad. He's doing what he's supposed to get in triple-double, and you're still not doing the littlest things. Yeah, J.R. Smith was acting a little silly with one of my good guys.
I'm with you.
But he still did enough to get to the finals.
I understand, but what you said was he could go to Home Depot and get 4 guys
and get to
the playoffs. Yeah, and
I said without an injury.
I know, and I'm not taking the part that he's injured. I'm saying he's back. He played a game. He sat a game. He comes back. He plays another game. Then they play in Atlanta.
Okay, so you know when he came back? You know when he came back? On the road. Now, as you know, as a basketball player, if we have 6 games on a road, what's a good record for a road? Tell the world, what's a good record?
500 is a good record on the road.
That may be. That's a really good record. That's a really good record.
But again, if you're playing
good
teams.
But Doug, no, tell the rest of the world. That's what they were. They were 2-6.
But it's who you lost to, right? Like, I'm okay. You
Orlando, who Orlando just beat?
Dude, come on, man.
Who's Orlando? I'm asking you a question.
Is Orlando a good team?
Yes, they are at home. Yes, they are.
Is Orlando a good team?
Are they fighting for a playoff position right now?
Are they 500?
It don't matter.
What do you mean it doesn't matter? That's
East has been like that. Do you mean tell me the East has not been like that?
Right. So
since I was in the league.
Would we agree that the East is worse than the West?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So he lost to a below 500 Orlando team.
Oh, how about this one?
They lost to the Hawks, who had the worst record in the East. And then they lost to the Phoenix Suns, who had the worst record in the NBA.
You get up on teams that are better. Orlando got up on Lakers because they knew LeBron was coming
in. I agree. And that's the other thing. It's like the Duke factor. Everybody did get everybody's best game.
There you go.
But you did say that with four guys, he could go down to Home Depot, and get it. Katina Mobley, great stuff. Thanks so much for joining us. Katina Mobley, kind enough to hang out with us here for the remainder of the hour. All right, I want to play for you something. Adam Silver sat down with Bill Simmons at a conference last week in Boston. He had this to say about something that he's noticed in actually sitting down with NBA players.
You know, in terms of what's going on in the league, you do have unhappy people, and it kills me. And I think it's one of the reasons why, I mean, it's not just unique to these players. I think it's more a function of their generation. You're seeing, I think there are some real studies out there.
I think it's hard to be famous now, too.
Yeah, just showing these ties to direct connection to social media, to the isolation that comes with, and the bullying that comes with social media, and every aspect that's part of it. The notion that you don't care what people are saying about you. And on top of that, their so-called friends are all over them saying, look what he said.
How much of that is a reality? Like, you played in the NBA in the era before social media, but you're also, you've been a pretty visible guy in your post-NBA career life as well. Right. How much of that is real, where guys are legit unhappy, and how much of it's because of social media?
I think it's both, right? So, for me, there was a point in my life where there was a forced out the NBA, kind of an identity check.
You got a heart condition, right?
Yeah, heart, but it was a misdiagnosis, right? So that's another day, another story. But, you know, I've said this a numerous amount of times to different friends, close friends. Sometimes I was in rooms that were really crowded and I felt alone, right? So a lot of people go through that. Now magnify that with I had a bad game, or, you know, this girl's taking my money. This guy's not really my friend. This guy's taking my money. This, that, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I'm not really understanding how life is right now because everybody's kissing my butt, right? Who really loves me? All those things take a precedence to the brain, your self-esteem, right? So he's right on when it comes to these guys, because a lot of those guys, and it's a lot to do with the technology of today's, the millenniums of today, right? So it's instant gratification. And I think what they don't understand is, and like you said, for me, I'm a little visible, but what I do is I stay out the way. And I always tell people that I'm staying out the way. I'm not trying to be the cool guy. I don't want to be the cool guy. I ride my bike. I'm just playing with my kids. I don't want problems, right? But a lot of guys, they want that reassurance that they're still alive. And I think that's what hurts them when it comes to these stuff.
They want to be relevant, right? They want to be relevant. They want to be the guy. But there's a Kyrie's really interesting, because I feel like there's a little bit of you and Kyrie or whatever, and that you guys are both super intelligent, but he's struggling with it. He wanted this thing and now he doesn't want it. Now he's like, man, I just want to play basketball.
That's a lot of people. When I came to LA, it was the weirdest thing I seen. Actors or whoever it were male or female that were successful, and they would have like hoodies on and, you know, try to be as inconspicuous as possible and blah, blah. And it's like, when did this happen? Because you literally, when you were a kid and you were a teenager, you were trying your best for people to notice you. Now all of a sudden they notice you. You want the commercials, you want this, you want that. And now all of a sudden you want to hide. When you pray for rain, you have to expect mud. That's just what life is. And I understand that. I'm not going to be rude to people when I'm going to the airport, because I understand that it's very stressful at the airport. I'm not going to be rude if I'm a waiter and I have to serve someone, because customer service is the number one thing. So, you know, a lot of these people, they're like, it's weird. They become delusional, right? And I love Kyrie and I love KD, but they're too sensitive. Like, you are superstars, and to be a superstar, that's what it takes.
Katina Mobley, kind enough to spend some time with us. Of course, you can hear it, see him on our Fox sports shows as well, man. Get back on a bike. Get back with your kids.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, you bailed me out. I'm good.